Welcome to your cybersecurity deep dive. You've sent over what looks like some training materials and some guidelines, so we're going to jump right in, take you straight to the good stuff, understanding how to actually configure systems securely, and really getting a handle on foundational security operations.
Right.
First up, let's tackle configuration management, or CM for short.
Okay.
It sounds kind of complicated, but imagine like you're moving into a new house. You wouldn't just like settle in without making sure the plumbing works and the roof isn't about to cave in.
Exactly. Configuration management is all about making sure that your IT systems are set up exactly how you intend them to be, with security as a top priority.
Mm.
It's about minimizing those weak spots that hackers just drool over.
Mm.
Think of it as securing your digital fortress.
Securing the digital fortress. I like that. Our sources mention hardening. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
What does that actually involve?
So hardening is all about tweaking those default settings that come with new systems. Think about it. You know, those defaults are meant to make things user-friendly, not necessarily secure.
Right.
It's like leaving all the doors unlocked in that new house. Hardening is going through and making sure everything is locked down tight.
So what kind of tweaks are we talking about specifically? Give us the details.
We're talking about disabling any services and ports you don't actually need.
Right.
Wiping out unused applications. Goodbye bloatware. And this should go without saying, but it's crucial, changing those default passwords.
Yes. The password reminder we all need. But let's be real, when you're managing a whole fleet of systems, doing this manually for each one sounds like a nightmare. How do we make this more efficient?
That's where baselines come in. Think of a baseline as a security blueprint for your systems. It's a pre-configured secure starting point that ensures everything is built to code from the start.
So instead of manually hardening each machine, you use this pre-configured baseline as a foundation.
You got it. Baselines not only speed up deployment, but they also ensure consistent security across your entire system landscape. And who doesn't love fewer maintenance headaches down the line?
Fewer headaches, always a good thing. But how does this actually work in practice?
This is where the magic of automation comes in. Tools can use those baselines to enforce the desired configurations across all your systems at once.
Oh.
Think of it like this. You define the blueprint once, and then the automation tools take care of constructing the buildings, making sure each one matches the specifications.
From manual tweaks to automated blueprints, this is making a lot more sense now. It's amazing how much more efficient and secure things can be with the right approach. We've laid down a solid foundation with configuration management, but now I'm curious about the bigger picture. How do we actually keep an organization secure beyond just the technical setup?
That's where security operations comes in. It's the understanding that security isn't just a one-time project, but like an ongoing process of vigilance, response, and adaptation.
So it's less about building a fortress and more about having a well-trained security team inside, constantly monitoring and responding to threats.
Exactly. And our sources highlight some key principles that underpin this idea of ongoing security operations. One of the most fundamental is the concept of need to know and its close cousin, least privilege.
Okay, I've heard these terms thrown around before. Break it down for me. What's the core idea here?
Imagine you have a building with many rooms, each requiring a different key. Do you want someone to have access to the entire building when they only need to be in one room?
Probably not.
That's what least privilege is all about, giving users only the bare minimum access they need to do their jobs and nothing more.
So it's about minimizing potential damage. Like, if someone only has the key to one room, they can't wreak havoc in the whole building if something goes wrong.
You got it. Limiting access is one of the simplest yet most powerful ways to mitigate risks from breaches, insider threats, or even just plain old mistakes. You'd be surprised how many data breaches stem from employees having more access than they need. It's like leaving the back door wide open.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. Speaking of limiting control, our sources also talk about separation of duties. What's that all about?
Separation of duties, or SOD, is all about making sure that no single person has complete control over a critical process. It's a fundamental security principle to prevent fraud and errors.
So instead of just handing someone the master key, you're dividing up responsibilities to make sure that no one has too much power.
Precisely. Think of it like those safety deposit boxes that require two keys to open. This ensures that no one person can compromise the system alone.
Okay. And within SOD, I see mentions of two-person control and split knowledge. Are those just variations on the same theme?
Exactly. Two-person control, also known as the two-man rule, takes SOD a step further. Imagine, like, launching a nuclear missile. You definitely want two people turning their keys simultaneously, right?
Right.
And then there's split knowledge, where you divide sensitive information among multiple people so no one person has the complete picture. It's all about adding those extra layers of protection.
Okay, so we're talking about limiting access and dividing responsibilities, but what about the human element? People change roles, they move around within an organization. How do we keep up with that?
That's where job rotation comes in. It might seem simple, but regularly switching up roles or responsibilities can actually do wonders for security.
That's fascinating. How does moving people around actually make things more secure?
Well, for starters, it reduces the risk of fraud. If someone is constantly being rotated to different roles, it becomes much harder for them to, you know, hide any shady activities for an extended period. It's also a fantastic way to promote cross-training within the organization, ensuring that knowledge and skills are spread around.
Job rotation, it's like built-in security and employee development all in one. I love that. Okay, one last concept from these materials, service-level agreements. Sounds very official.
Yeah.
What's the deal with SLAs and why are they important for security?
Think of an SLA like a contract, but specifically for IT services.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're relying on a third-party vendor for something critical like data backup or security monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
An SLA outlines exactly what services they're providing, what level of performance you can expect, think like uptime, response times, and what happens if those expectations aren't met.
So it's all about setting clear expectations and ensuring accountability from your vendors. That makes a lot of sense, especially when you're entrusting sensitive information or critical operations to an outside party. Wow, we've covered a ton of ground in this deep dive, from the nitty-gritty of configuring systems to those big-picture security operations principles. Before we wrap up, I want to make sure we connect the dots for our listener. How do all these technical and operational pieces actually work together to create a truly secure environment?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that security isn't about any one thing. It's about the synergy between all these different elements. Think of it like this. Configuration management, that's like building your house with strong, sturdy materials. It's about establishing a secure foundation from the ground up.
So that's the base layer, making sure your systems are configured correctly from the start. But then what?
Then you layer on those security operations principles, like need-to-know access, separation of duties, job rotation. These are like your security systems, surveillance, and having well-trained personnel who know exactly what to look for and how to respond if something seems off.
So it's not an either situation. It's about having both a strong technical foundation and those operational best practices working in tandem.
Precisely. When these elements work together seamlessly, they create a multi-layered, holistic security posture that's far more resilient than any single measure could be on its own.
I love that word resilience. It's about being prepared for anything, not just trying to plug holes as they appear. And on that note of resilience, it's time for our final thought. We've talked a lot about how organizations protect themselves, but what about your own digital life? Think about your personal devices, your online accounts, even your workplace. Where do you see these concepts, configuration management, least privilege, separation of duties already at play, and more importantly, where could they be improved? This deep dive is just the beginning. Use it as a framework to think critically about security, not just in terms of technology, but in terms of processes, people, and even your own habits and behaviors. Because at the end of the day, security is everyone's responsibility. Thanks for joining us on this cybersecurity journey. We'll see you next time for another deep dive.